This is a podcast about the hardcore community.
Made by and for those who live authentic lives and embrace hard truths.
We archive the stories of the bands and people who make this lifestyle possible. I'm Josh Lyon.
And I'm Greg Benoit.
And this is the Hardcore Archive Podcast. All right, welcome to another episode of the Hardcore Archive Podcast. I'm Josh Lyons. With me, as always, is Greg Benoit. Tonight, we're going to be talking with Anthony Burke. He's in a ton of bands, so I'm sure we're going to be trying to talk as much about them as possible with time constraints and concern, I guess, obviously. But his bands have got a lot of cool stuff coming up, so I'll be curious to hear about that. So with all that being said, how's everything going for you tonight, Anthony?
So far, so good. I actually just came back from a show here in Broward. It was at this place called O'Malley's.
Any good bands or?
Yeah, there's this new band from Broward that started called Collateral. It's kind of like it's supposed to sound like I don't even know. I guess like Locking Out. Like it reminds me of like Right Brigade kind of stuff. Or like a lot of like early Locking Out stuff. Yeah, they opened. I really honestly just went for them because they're really good. They're like there's not too many bands from Florida right now like that are doing hardcore. That band Spy played too. They headlined, but I unfortunately have this. Not unfortunately, fortunately, I have this. Pardon me. And I wanted to make sure I keep true to my commitment, so I saw them and I came. They covered an Outburst song, which is pretty cool. But yeah,
don't worry. Spy has more scene cred than this podcast, so you were right to say that unfortunately.
Oh no, no. Not at all. No, I'm good. I've been to plenty of shows. I'm good.
That Collateral, they got a demo out already streaming, right?
Yeah. They,
yeah, I've heard that shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it a lot. That's my shit. I love that stuff. What do you call it? They're all from here. They're like members of other bands too. I actually recorded that for them. It's on the, came out on Fortress Records, which is like a new thing the drummer's doing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, as we're going to get to with you being in so many bands, it seems like a lot of these bands now, it's like you end up once that band gets going, you end up starting another band and then another band. And it seems like a lot of people right now are doing the multi-band thing, which is cool, obviously, you know, but
yeah,
it's a lot of tours and shows going on at the same time as you kind of referenced, you know, so
yeah.
But yeah, I guess before we get into your upbringing and stuff, you're talking about shows. Did you played Hardcore Pride this past weekend then too, right?
I did, yes.
Did you play, how many sets did you play in one day then? Because as we're talking about the bands, I'm looking at the list of bands and I'm like, I think you played at least 3 sets in one day, right?
I played, it was supposed to be 5, but one of the bands dropped a couple weeks ago because the drummer broke his hand. And but I played 2 sets on Saturday and then 2 sets on Sunday.
That's so crazy. Was that a good weekend too, obviously?
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, it was like one of those things like, so my friends, Lennon and Sig booked it and, it was one of those things where it's like, I know I'm friends pretty much with every band that's like on the bill. And I'd have never been to a fest where like, it's like that. So it was pretty, it was cool. It's just a bunch of guys hanging out, you know, just a bunch of friends, I guess you can say. The first day was at the First Unitarian Church, and I'll be honest with you, the vibe was a little weird. Like, people were not, like, moving as much as they usually do for some of those bands. But the second day was at West Kensington Ministry, that's maybe 20 minutes away, and it was, the vibe there that day was way better. But, I mean, both days were awesome. It was great. It was really cool.
Yeah, what did one of your bands, what did Magnitude headline that one, or...?
It was, I guess so. On the first day at First Unitarian, that was, yeah, we played like second to last. Yeah. Gridiron was like the last band. Yeah.
Oh, no shit. Yeah, those guys are popping off right now too.
Man. Yeah. They're awesome. They're awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Yeah. So yeah, we'll be talking about all these bands and stuff, but like we were talking about, I think before we hit record, I'll be really curious to talk about like your upbringing and stuff and coming up in Florida and stuff. So I'll maybe talk about that a little bit and kind of how you got into like punk and hardcore and stuff too, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm actually not from Florida. I'm from Baltimore. Yeah. I moved here when I was real young though. So, I mean, you could say that I'm from Florida. Yeah, I just, you know, we moved to like right outside of Fort Lauderdale and, I've been living in the same place like pretty much my whole life, but, I have an older sister. She's the one that really got me into stuff. She wasn't like super like into it. Like she was like, you know, she knew like the bigger bands and stuff like that. Like I remember sticking to see like Hatebreed and stuff like that when I was a kid. And she liked some of like the bands that were kind of like, like right next to it, like you know, like All Else Failed and like what do you call it? What's that other band? Dillinger Escape Plan and Botch and stuff like that. And she showed me that stuff when I was a kid, and I was like, I don't like some of it was cool, you know. And then there was a, I mean, when I was a kid, when I was in like middle school, there was a bunch of bands from down here that were doing stuff like that were like pretty huge. I mean, like Dashboard Confessional and like what do you call it? Further Seems Forever, which is like those are the guys from Strong Arm. And they like my sister like loved those bands, and like she like turned me like on to that kind of stuff. And then I don't think it was probably till like I was in high school, I think, and it was like 2008. My first show was like it was like Knock 'Em Dead, which is a band from Miami, In the Aftermath, which is another band from Miami, and they played with Suicide Silence, which is like really like pretty interesting, I guess. So this is like right around the time the first record came out, and I was at this place in South Beach called the Roxy. That was like my first time going to like a show where it was like, oh, there's like no barricade, and it was like a, you know, a big thing. This is like 2007 or 2008, I think. And then the show ended up getting shut down because there was a riot ended up happening. A bunch of people got maced. My sister was freaking out because she was like, she was living at home with me at the time. She's way older than me. She's like, I think at this time she's probably 20 or 21, and I was like 13 or 14. And she was freaking out. She's like, oh, what are we gonna tell parents? And I was like, I thought it was great. I thought it was so cool. And then after that, I just started going to more shows. Like it would be kind of spaced apart because around that time, like they'd have like a lot more like there'd be like metalcore bands from around here that would play and stuff. And so I'd see them. There was this cool fest that this guy used to book down here. It was called Bring It Back to the Kids. And I saw some really cool bands that like I'm like really happy that I ended up seeing, because I didn't realize how important it was. Like I remember seeing like Morning Again play to like 30 people, and like no one cared in like 2012 or something, or I don't remember exactly. It's 2011 or 2012. And then you know, I would see like, I remember seeing Access and Foundation and stuff. And then like I would go to shows, and like I started dipping my feet more and more into it. And it was probably till like right after high school, like that's when I was like, all right, like I'm like gonna start bands and like fully get into it. And that's pretty much been it for the past like 10 years or so, you know.
So you pretty much, like, as you're kind of starting to point us in that direction, I guess you started doing the band thing pretty quickly then, once you kind of like discovered the scene and everything, like where you could say, I guess.
No, I wasn't in my first band probably until I was like 16, and I think I went to my first show like probably when I was like 13 or 14, so a couple years. And then, you know, it was just like kind of like we played a couple shows, like nothing serious, like. And then after that, like, you know, when I got out of high school, that's when I got really a little more serious, when bands would like, you know, do like weekend tours and week tours or whatever. And then eventually it really started picking up around like 2016 or so, 2015, 2016.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously, we have quite a few bands to get to in the conversation we're going to have right tonight. But were there bands before that you were talking about now, like before the bands that we're going to talk about tonight that you did like touring with and stuff too? Or?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the first band I ever toured with was like, I was 18, and it was like right immediately after high school. And it was like an Every Time I Die kind of ripoff band, like the early kind of shit, not the Southern stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I think that's good. That's like the stuff that when I heard about them, like that was like the stuff that I listened to, but it wasn't at the time stuff that I was interested in playing. But yeah, and I think like I was in the band for like maybe a year. It wasn't like my band. It was like a friend's band. They're like, hey, we're gonna do tours and stuff, and I was like, all right, that's cool. And I think the longest tour I did was like a month and a half with them, and then I was like, yeah, I can't. I'm in college. Like, my parents aren't gonna continue helping me with this, you know. So, and that was pretty much it. And I didn't really do too many tours until like 2016. I was in a bunch of other bands. I was in shouldn't say a bunch. I was in a few other bands from down here. I was in this band. If any of my friends listen to this, they'll probably think it's funny because it's a broken record. But I was in this band down here called Elegy. I was in a band called Sandman. I was in a band called A Needle Under the Nail. And a bunch of other bands like in between and stuff like that, you know. I could break it apart for you, but I've done a lot. Most of them have not been very long lived though. Like, you know, play a couple shows and that's pretty much it.
I don't know which direction to take it with, because we got a few bands to talk about. So I guess we could even kind of bunch some of them together, because you're going to be torn with some of them and stuff. I'm not sure what the timeline jumps in with someone, like when some of these bands started too. I'm guessing obviously you joined Magnitude a little bit later.
Like they asked me to be in the band like last year, but I've like played shows with them before, and I was actually at the first show ever. I've been friends with them for a long time, so it just, you know, made sense. Yeah.
Yeah, right on. So like which like are like how, like I guess how is it like did, were all these were did you join all these bands like at separate times that you're in, that you're a part of now, or are they all like, because it just seems like a lot to keep track of, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, it's really annoying, to be honest with you. No, not all at the same time. So Seat of Pain was like after me and the other guitar player Sven. We started that band after we were done with a band called Elegy in like 2018. And then we around, I think the same year, we also started Envision, but not with me and him. It was me and the bass player of Seat of Pain. His name is Seos, who was also an Elegy. And then I'm trying to think. Moment of Truth was about a year after that. And then let me think here. Be All End All, I wasn't an original member, but I recorded the first LP, the 12-inch. And then when I recorded that, they're like, hey, do you want to be in the band? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then what else? Other bands? Magnitude, they like asked me to do like be in the band like last year. And then my metal band is just me. I just was one day I was bored and I was like, hey, like, not, I wouldn't say bored, not one day. I had this plan for a long time, but, and I just did it. And, yeah, I think it worked out pretty good.
We'll dive into the other ones a little bit more, but the metal one, actually, I'm curious about. How do you say that? Is that Charnel Grounds?
Oh, Charnel Grounds. Yeah.
Charnel Grounds. Yeah. So that's a solo thing that just you do, or?
Yeah, I just do it myself. I record bands and stuff, and like, it's annoying to be honest with you. It doesn't suck to be in bands with people. It's awesome, but like, it's like weird, because it's like, you have to compromise a little bit. And I wanted to do something where I didn't have to compromise. So I was like, I'll just do everything myself.
Cause obviously like some of these other bands sonically are like across the board a little bit, but none of them are like crazy, like metal like that. Like I'm not as familiar with Charnel Grounds, but I looked it up before we did the interview tonight. I listened to some of the stuff and I was like, man, this is crazy. Yeah. The crazy metal. And you have a Youth of Today cover on one of the, on one of the things too, which I was like, man, that's cool that he threw that in there. But like, when did you get into like all the crazy metal influences like that then, I guess, you know what I mean? Like, is that a Florida thing or?
I would say probably sometime in high school or something like that. Like I had friends that showed me like as you know, like Florida is like the place for like at like death metal in the 90s and stuff like that. So, I mean, I remember going into like to the local like CD stores and stuff like that when I was a kid and seeing like Butchered at Birth and like Tomb of the Mutilated and stuff like, and I was thinking like, oh dude, that's like so wild. I could never be into that. And then like when I was in high school, like I think I was like, I don't know, like 13 or like freshman year of high school, I was like, oh, this is like pretty cool actually. And I listened to like shit when I was younger too. Like my sister, I mean, during that time when I was like 5, 6, 7, like when MTV was doing like, they had like Deftones and they had like a System of a Down and like Slipknot on there and stuff like that. My sister put that on TV. So, I mean, that was the stuff that I grew up. I mean, I always liked the heavy stuff, you know? And then it got into the more metal stuff as I got older. I had friends that showed me stuff and, you know, the internet thing. It's good and it's bad, but I think it's good for definitely finding new stuff. So it was pretty easy for me to get into that kind of stuff. Just, and I mean, Florida has like a crazy history of all those like bands playing. And we had a venue here, Churchill's, which closed down, unfortunately, where a lot of those bands would play. And it was, you know, I would see some, not they, a lot of bands would come through to play that venue, like a lot of the more extreme metal bands, I guess you can say. But yeah,
so like what's your sister up to now? Like what does she think about you being in all these bands? Like is that like, oh hey, nice, I got you started on that or something?
I don't know, to be honest with you. She's very far removed from it at this point. She's like I think she's like what, like 34 35 now, and she's a professional bodybuilder, so she's like so far. I like talk to her every once in a while. You know, she lives in Pompano, which is about 25 minutes away from here.
Yeah.
But I don't know. She occasionally will talk about it and stuff like that. Like, you know, she's like, oh, do you remember I gave you the first CD and, you know, that you ever had and stuff like that. But nothing, you know, I guess she's happy, you know.
Well, what, man, you got like bodybuilding, you can put on some magnitude and lift to that. That's like right up there.
No, it's funny. Now she's like, I think the most recent thing she's listening to is like Florida Georgia Line or something like that. It's such a weird, like.
Huh, from Hatebreed to that.
Yeah, it's weird. You know what I mean? I don't understand, you know?
Well, whatever. When I'm not listening to like hardcore, I want to listen to like synthwave and vaporwave so I can like mellow out, so I can't judge.
Yeah, no, I completely, you can't just listen to like one genre of music. I can't be extreme all the time, so I get it. But no, I think, yeah, she's just, you know, she's in a different area in her life right now, I think.
With kind of sticking with the metal thing for a second, did you ever, like, would you ever like put a full band together and do like a live show with that type thing? Or is that more just for fun, like recording projects and stuff?
It'd be cool to do a live show kind of thing. Like I've been asked to, but I don't think it will happen only because I don't know. Like I would want to be in a band with like people that I know, and the people that I know, how do I say this? Like they're not good enough to play that kind of music, which as blunt as it could be, like some of it, I can't play that shit. You know what I mean? Like the drums, I banned on my computer, you know? So, and the guitar, like you don't know how many times I had to track that. Like it was hundreds of takes probably, you know, but I just did it cause I thought it'd be fun, you know? But, and also if I would want to be band with my friends, number one, and number two, if I got like scabs or something like that, you know, I don't want like metalheads because they're kind of weird, I guess, but it just depends. You know, but it depends. I don't know anybody that could do that kind of stuff, and frankly I don't even think I could do that in a live setting either, because, you know, just to stand there and just shred, it's, you know, I don't know, sounds kind of boring. Maybe one day. Yeah.
So like I got a question then, like when you're, do you have like your own studio then?
Yeah. No, this is where you're in it basically.
All right. Gotcha.
Yeah. It looks very messy right now because, I was recording somebody yesterday, but, yeah, I record bands like in here in South Florida. That's
so like
yeah.
When you're not out on tour, then are you just doing recording back at home?
Yeah. I like, I try to do it as much as I like can. I do have a 9-to-5 that I'm probably not going to have anymore just so I can focus on doing this. Because it's gotten to the point where it's I can't, like the balance is not where I need it to be at. Before when I was like starting doing it, like in like 2016, it was different. Cause I mean, I was just recording my friends' bands, but now, you know, it's a lot, more, you know?
Yeah, no, it sounds like you're on a good track though, to like make a career of it if you wanted it. Like, you know, six bands plus all the connections you're going to make from each one of those, you're going to have like a lot of people probably want to record from you with you just because, you know, they're familiar with your work that way.
Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, I would love to do it as a full-time thing. I think that's what I'm going to do in a couple months, probably for a little bit. And then I still go to school too. Like I'm getting my second bachelor's right now. So that's yeah, I don't have time or anything.
Well, I'm impressed because I don't do any of that shit, and I don't have time to basically even do laundry. So I guess that's what kids will do to you. What are you getting your second bachelor's in?
Computer engineering.
Yeah, smart. Yeah. I got mine in English literature. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. There's
I got my first one in history. I don't know what I was thinking either.
Well, now you can like sound smart when you're like talking to people at parties or something.
I guess so. That's funny. Yeah.
So it seems like all these bands that you're in are they all kind of have shit going on too, because like I see, I mean, obviously the Big Cat was let out of the bag a couple of days before we record this interview with Magnitude. I mean, you got a huge tour coming up there, and you've already, I already saw there was like, what is it, Japan or Southeast Asia and other countries too?
Yeah, Japan and Southeast Asia, that's right.
That blows my mind. Like, I mean, I see a lot of bands going to like Australia and Southeast Asia now, you know what I mean? But it just still kind of blows my mind just that like hardcore at that point now where people can like tour over there. Like so many bands are going over there now too. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
I think a lot of it has to do with the pandemic too. Cause I mean, no one is able to do anything for a minute. And I made the joke last year, everybody was going to Europe. And then this year, everyone's going to Japan, Southeast Asia, Australia. We were going to do Australia too, but one of the members couldn't get enough time off of work. So yeah, but it's awesome that it's like has this global reach where, you know, hardcore will take you pretty much anywhere, you know?
I mean, I haven't seen a ton of videos, but like, I mean, obviously Speed's huge, but like they've played a few shows over there. I've seen videos from where there's a ton of people, like, and it seems like I've talked with Greg on other episodes on here about like, I've been seeing tons of bands popping up in like Indonesia and just like the most random, like it seemed to me that like it would have seemed a couple years ago to me like random, but now there's just like huge scenes there, it seems like, or maybe not huge, but
yeah,
you know what I mean?
No, have you seen the video of that band Whispers playing in the street in Bangkok or whatever, and there's like 300 people there?
I don't think so. I gotta look that one up after we this.
Pretty crazy. Yeah, they kind of sound like they're going for a kickback thing, but I don't think it sounds more like Sentence, if you know that, if you guys know that band is, to me. It's wild. Like, and Speed, like, they haven't even been a band for like that long. I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was looking at one of the members' Twitter and they were like, oh, this is our 20th show as a band. I'm like, damn, that's crazy, you know, but good for them.
Yeah, I remember like right before the pandemic started, like I feel like I saw a Hate 5-6 video, like he had just gone over there. I don't know if it was just to shoot them or somebody else, but that was like early 2020 maybe, so that had to have been from like a late 2019 show, you know what I mean? And I was like, I don't even know who this band is, you know, and then all of a sudden it was like, you know. So but yeah, that's what's like, how many weeks are you guys going out with Drain for, with Magnitude though, in the U.S. is that like a full U.S. tour or?
I don't think it's a full U.S. but it's like we're not on the entire tour either. It's like we're on most of it. It's I think we're missing like the first 5 days and then we're closing it out with them. It's like the end of May, or pardon me, it's like the beginning of June, like June 3rd or something like that, all the way to the end of June. So I'm not sure if it's like a full U.S. I don't know if we're hitting like every single state, but I think it's like 20 days or something. I don't know, something like that.
And like, do you try to, because I saw, is it Envision that's doing some of the Asia tour with Magnitude?
That's right, yeah.
Do you try to plan stuff out like that to try to get some of the other bands like on some of these like international things, or is that the first time like some of that's like maybe it'll come up like that?
No, my other band, Seed of Pain, we toured the UK in 2019. And then we've like always wanted to go to Japan like as a band. So, and Seed of Pain and Envision have like half the band is the same members. So we've known them since the beginning basically of both of the bands. So we were like, hey, let's do this. We also toured with them like in 2019 too. We did like a West Coast thing with them. It was like Magnitude, Eco Strike, and Envision. And it was like from Oregon all the way down the West Coast to Texas. So we know we've known them for a long time. So it was like, yeah, let's do it, you know.
And I'm more just kind of jumping back to like the playing multiple sets thing, you know what I mean? It just seems crazy because that's for that tour, right? You'll be doing two sets with Magnitude and Envision for that one, or am I mixing tours up there?
No, that's right.
Yeah, does that get like exhausting at all, like having to do more than one set per night like that, or is that just, are you kind of
not really, to be honest with you. I think I benefit because I'm still young, but I could imagine if you're like a drummer, that would probably like be like really physically taxing. For guitar, it's like not, yeah, don't get me wrong, it's definitely like a workout, you know, but, you know, not compared to drums. I remember, I forget who it was, but like last year there was in Philly, there was From Within Records had a showcase and the drummer of Magnitude played drums for like 3 or 4 sets and he was like dying afterwards. It was like, he was like about on the verge of passing out. I think that's definitely more like physically taxing than playing guitar. But then again, it depends on how much you're jumping around. I'm pretty fat, so I try not to do that.
Greg plays drums. Greg, I don't think you're going to
I did two sets in one night one time, and that was pretty hard. But then again, I was also young. But the thing is, like, because like when you're practicing with a band, like a World Purge practices, we'll practice for like 2.5 hours, and I can like manage that. Sometimes like hour two is the best there is. So I don't really know how it works.
Yeah. So what, and then I'm trying to look at my other notes here. Cause like I said, I know all these bands have a ton of shit going on here. Are you doing, I saw there was something in New Jersey coming up, but I don't know if that's going to have already happened by this time we air this. Is that just like a one-off? You guys are flying up for that, or are you flying up for that?
Oh no, that's Seed of Pain is doing a tour with, this band from Boston called, Burning Lord. And, yeah, it's like 4 days. And, one of those days is the Wreckage, that there's another band from Connecticut called Wreckage. They're doing a record release, and it's Seed of Pain, Burning Lord, Envision, Moment of Truth, and I think somebody else, I don't remember right now. But yeah, no, well, the thing is for like the bands like Envision and Moment of Truth, that like Seed of Pain are both of those bands basically. They share like three members. So we just have to fly up like one or two people, and that's pretty much it, you know. I don't even think we're going to fly anybody up for this one. I think we have to get fill-ins because, unfortunately, the drummer and the bass player of Moment of Truth, the drummer of Moment of Truth, who is the bass player of Envision, his parents were like in a crazy car accident and like a couple weeks ago. And his dad is home now, but he's like pretty messed up. But his mom is like, things aren't looking too good. So he's like not, he's got to be around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it sucks, man. Sorry to hear about that.
It is what it is, you know?
Yeah. And then that's just like 4 days you're doing that, and then you're just flying up and back for that, you're saying? Or?
Yeah. It's the 6th to the 10th, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That Wreckage band's pretty good too. That's their record release for them. It's that's a Scheme record, right? Or
Scheme Records. That's right. Yeah. That's a record release.
So many, it's just crazy how many, so many bands popping off now. You know what I mean? Like we were saying in the beginning, it seems like every week there's at least one or two like pretty good releases coming out now, you know?
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah. Before, you'd have bands come out and there'd be no good releases, but now the bands are getting pretty good, you know?
Actually, that brings up a good point with all these bands that you're doing. Are you got anything coming up new release wise with you guys? I know like some of your bands released some stuff last year, so I don't know if you're planning to do anything this year with any of them.
Yeah. Magnitude's doing a second LP this year. And then Moment of Truth is doing something this year. I don't know what it is. And then Envision has an LP too. I can't believe I forgot that. Yeah. Envision has an LP coming out from Within. I don't know exactly, like it's done and it's like, it's submitted to the plant, but I just don't know when it's going to come up for orders and stuff.
Yeah, things take a little bit of time still with that stuff, right? With the vinyl and stuff.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else we got here.
So Moment of Truth, you guys played in Syracuse relatively recently. Didn't you guys go through there, or was that mixing up the shows?
No, you're right. Yeah, we played, it was last October with like that band End of One. And Age of Apocalypse, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I missed that one, but I saw you guys come through, and I was curious how, like, is that, have you played Syracuse before, or is that the first time there?
One of my other, Envision played Syracuse in 2019 or 2020, I think, and then some of my older bands played there, but yeah, it's been a minute. That show was awesome. That was like...
Yes, Syracuse is like going through a renaissance right now. Like Syracuse in present day is like kind of got an energy that it hasn't had, I think, since like the 90s. You know, like that Earth Crisis show I mentioned earlier off mic was, I think like 5 years ago, they had like a 15-year anniversary of Firestorm, and it was like a decent turnout, but I was kind of surprised there weren't more people there. Now it's 20 years. And the show sold out like within days. So it's going bonkers. There's a lot of like young kids doing some cool new bands from Syracuse, like Deal With God. And
yeah, they're the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's wild. Actually, I noticed that too. Like they got so many bands coming out there. Bands are starting to go through there and stuff. And yeah, no, like that show was awesome. I would love to play there again.
Yeah, hoping to get that vibe popping off in Rochester again one of these days. It just takes a little bit of time, you know. We got some stuff coming up here and there though, but so I guess with the recording, are you doing anything else with that or anything? Are you got any more bands coming up with that, or I know you're keeping busy with that.
Oh yeah, I think I got like 7 bands I got to work on right now. Wow. Yeah, it's a little bit hectic, to be honest with you. I don't know 100% sure if I could like say
no, that's cool. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but like there's like bands from down here, some bands from Texas and other stuff that I'm working on right now. That's the whole thing about it. It's basically like having 2 jobs pretty much, you know, and then also going to school on top of that. It blows a little bit, so.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty tough to keep track of. I feel like I could ask you like 20 more questions about the 6 bands things, but I think I'm running pretty low on notes. Do you have anything else that you had for him or anything, Greg? Or
I wanted to hear about that Syracuse show, which we got to, and yeah, I don't know. Has there been anything that you have recorded that you can shout out that people should check out?
Oh yeah, definitely. What do you call it? They just came out recently. I think it was like the day before yesterday. A band from South Florida called Caliber came out in Fortress. I mastered the Scheme Records comp, which came out like 2 weeks ago. It's got like a lot of bands on there. There's Echo Chamber from Germany, Almighty Watching, Dead Last, Burning Lord, Grand Scheme, and Heads Will Roll, which is like their first thing. Let me think what else that I recently did. There's another band from down here called Ephemeral. They got something coming out soon through somebody I can't say. And then Domain's working on a record right now too. And I think that's everything that I could say. That's like, yeah, that's everything I could say right now.
That Scheme comp is really good. I checked that out. He's got a lot of good shit going on. And Almighty Watching was good last year. And like we said, Wreckage is good too. So
yeah, that Almighty Watching is like one of my favorite bands right now. They're so like unique and like interesting. And I think it's cool that, you know, people are trying to do stuff like that. Bands don't try to sound like that. They don't care about like, you know, people moshing as much as they do about like having really cool, like fast parts and stuff. So that band is incredible.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely. Hardcore is in a place now where there's so many different vibes, and it's cool that you can, if you like a different sound, they'll definitely be there for you. You know what I mean? We're not stuck to one thing anymore. You know, it's really cool a place we're in. Yeah, Greg, you got anything else there?
I think we've hit up all the high points. I think this episode honestly is going to pair really well with the episode where we interviewed Chip Walbert. I feel like he did a good job kind of covering Florida from like late 90s, mid 90s to, you know, like mid 2000s, and then you kind of like pick up exactly where he started to taper off. So it's cool hearing about that. One of the things he was saying that I kind of wanted to ask you about was that, like, you know, like late 90s, early 2000s, Florida was like kind of this, like, you know, off on its own, like not a lot of bands coming through there. You know, so you had like your local acts that everybody's aware of now, like Shai Hulud and Strong Arm and Morning Again. But it seems now like Florida's kind of got a pretty vibrant hardcore scene. It's not still the case that the bands are like skipping over Florida now, is it?
It depends. I feel like a couple years ago, like I want to say like between 2014 to like 2019, 2020 or so, it was like the golden age. It'd be like you'd go to a show and pretty much any show would be like really packed out, and people would come because like they would see, they would have friends and they'd be like, yo, you should come play South Florida. And that's what they did. Now, like, not, it's like people still come down here. Like we just went to go see that band Spy. It's like a little bit, it's kind of, it's tapered off a little bit. And I think that has to do with the fact that there's like not that many bands from like South Florida right now. They're like, that are like hardcore bands. People are stretching out to do other things, but there's like maybe a handful that are doing stuff. The shows like tend to be pretty good, but it's usually because there's like a, it'll be like a mixed bill show. So that's kind of got everything, something for everybody. Whereas in like maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, you'd be able to bring like, it would just be like a hardcore show. And then it would be like 200 kids in an insanely small room. Now you get the same thing. And we also don't have too many venues. So it's like kind of, it's difficult to do stuff, but it works, you know. The people like John McHale, who I know Chip talked about, and then Jeff and Toby, who run this thing, Equinox Booking, they've been doing stuff to try to pick up after COVID, because a lot of bands kind of just stopped. And so they're getting some like really cool things. Like they've booked some incredible shows and stuff. But as far as like larger tours and stuff, it truly depends. It truly depends. We've got some good ones recently, but it's not anything like where it was a couple years ago, or it's not like where you're up in the Northeast, where I feel like you can go to a show pretty much, you know, two times a week and you'll have a good time here. It's like maybe once a month, you know, something like that.
Yeah, we're spoiled here. You know, at least like there's like one hardcore show at least a week if you're willing to drive between like Buffalo, Rochester, and Syracuse. Although I feel like Rochester is kind of like Florida, where we get like passed over because Buffalo and Syracuse have like, you know, the victory bands from back in the day, like Snapcase and Buried Alive and Earth Crisis, you know, in Syracuse. And, you know, we never really had any bands that kind of rose to that caliber from that era. So people forget about us, but yeah.
I mean, that now it was a big thing where people, the further south they would go would be like to Orlando or Tampa. And that's like pretty much a different state in terms of like culture and stuff. Cause that, Tampa is like 4 hours away from here. Orlando is about 3.5. So it's, they don't really come down to like Miami, but it just depends. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It was better a few years ago and people still are coming down. I think it's going to get better again, cause there are a lot more bands coming up.
I guess kind of wrapping up then, unless you think there's anything we missed, is there anything else you want to add or anything?
Not particularly. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you taking the time to do this. Like I said, I know you have like 18 bands. So if there's anything you want to plug or anything you want to give shout outs to, we'll include links and everything with the show notes, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. Shout out Fortress Records and From Within, Scheme Records too, Equinox Booking. Yeah.
The Hardcore Archive podcast is Josh Lyons and Greg Benoit with creative support from Rob Antonucci.
This podcast is a product of the Rochester Hardcore community. Theme song provided by Stand Fast.
Visit Hardcore Archive podcast on Linktree to listen to past episodes.
Follow Hardcore Archive podcast and Enterprise Hardcore podcast on Instagram for updates.
If you have an idea for an episode or would like to have your band's music featured during the closing credits, please contact us at hardcorearchivepodcast@gmail.com.
In our world, there will be no emotions except fear, rage, triumph, and self-abasement. If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever.
You want to talk about democracy? And what it means to fly the flag? But you don't even wanna lift a fucking finger.
No!
To help this country try and practice what it preaches. No!
Free!
I'm free! I'm free! I'm free! And that's freedom! I'm free from you! Free from you! Don't care how you define a family. Your fairy tales don't mean a thing to me. Don't
from your religion. Freedom from your small mind. Freedom from your tradition. Freedom from all your